You're listening to the Just Go Bike Podcast. We're all about the culture of bicycling just for the fun of it. Your hosts, Kathy Murphy from the Morphology Podcast and Andrea Parrott from Parrott Talk, are joined by a wide variety of guests each week that delve into the social side of cycling. With tales from Ragbri Nation, come for the bikes, stay for the fun, and leave with a smile. And now, here are your hosts, Murph.
Hey, that's me.
And AP.
And that's me. Well, hi, Murph.
Well, hello, AP, and happy 300th episode.
Woo, what an achievement.
I agree. Can you believe we've made it this far?
I mean, yes and no. It both seems like we've been podcasting for all time, and seems like it was only just yesterday when we began.
Oh, I know. It is cool. And, you know, technically, there are a lot of episodes that we don't assign numbers to, so we're probably closer to 400 by now.
But Don't give away our secrets.
Okay, well, this is a pretty special episode, one of our most popular that we have each year. So do you want to introduce our guest?
I would love to introduce our guest. Today we have with us Mr. Matt Phippen, director of Ragbri.
Hey, ladies, how are you?
Hi, so glad to have you. And actually, we're here together in the same room.
We are traveling across the state this week, yeah.
Yeah, it's been an awesome experience. We've been meeting with all the overnight towns of Ragbri 51, and it has been delightful to meet them all. Each community has been just a little bit different in its own special way, and we look forward to sharing some of that with you.
Yeah. So, Matt, the route or the full route was just announced, correct?
Yeah, we released it last Thursday. Obviously, it's one of those things where you're always nervous around it. You know, we released the 8 overnight towns in January, and you kind of watch social media to see how it was received. We released all the pasture towns, so all the dots that connect the big communities. And that again has been very well received. You know, it is a southern route that obviously pushes people away because it does get harder. It does get hillier down here, but people are excited to get back on those roads and experience southern Iowa.
We've got some real winners of pasture towns this year. I can't wait. Let's talk about them today, I say.
Yeah. And also let's talk about, you briefly mentioned hills. And this is the hilliest Ragbri ever.
It is. And like, you know, when we talked, you know, months ago, that wasn't by plan. It was something that, you know, we found out afterwards when we were kind of looking at how does our route stack up against, you know, other routes. And, you know, Ann obviously came to me and said, hey, you know, this is the hilliest route. And I was like, there's no way. But when you look at it truly is. You know, you guys have been on the road, you know, through Mount Pleasant today, but a lot of rollers, you know, a lot of, you know, easy riding up and down. There are some, you know, some steady climbs, but for the most part, it's, you know, you can roll across the state of Iowa.
Yeah, I think this route really has a little something for everyone. It has short days, it has long days, it has the difficult climbs, it has days with a lot of towns. I feel like, yeah, it's got just a wide variety of routes and days, and yeah, from being in the back of the truck all week, it has hills.
Yeah. Well, and definitely something else that's new is more gravel.
Yeah, I'm a huge gravel guy. I love riding gravel. You know, each year we have a gravel day or gravel option, which, you know, depending on where it's at, it's usually one county you travel through. So, you know, basically with this route and how our gravel changes from the west side to the east side, I tried to find a way to implement options every single day that connect to the route. So, you know, if you do love gravel, you will have, you know, almost 52 miles for the total week of riding gravel. If you just want to, you know, kind of get a taste of what it looks like as you're brand new to it, we will have sections, and, you know, we can, as we get closer, we'll talk more about the gravel and which sections, if you are that novice rider, should take, because there are some pretty intense climbs and some pretty, epic gravel sections. But yeah, 7 days of gravel, so 7 sections. We'll have them obviously clearly marked, so you can, you know, the ride will go one way and the gravel will split off the other. So there's no crossing traffic. It's easy to get off and get back on. But that, I think that's been very well received. I think people are excited to do gravel. You know, when I became the director, you know, going on 3 years ago, instantly I heard we need to do a full week of gravel, which is something that intrigues me a little bit.
Yeah.
But we're kind of working towards that right now. So yeah, 7 days of 7 options of gravel.
And AP and I are traveling with you all week, so we get to kind of see a little taste of the route. And yesterday we did some gravel, and I don't know if this is actually on the route, so you'll tell me now, but we were on some level B roads. And for those people who maybe don't know road quality, Do you want to tell everyone what Level B means?
I'm so intrigued by Level Bs because they're like the old school farm roads that, you know, the farmers took back in the day. They're not a whole lot of gravel. It's more just dirt. Mm-hmm. So if you do get rain, it turns into a muddy mess. The good news is we have sections that we can spill out before. So, you know, that team that morning will assess the gravel at that point. And if it's just too sloppy or there is going to be issues, we'll just turn riders on a different gravel road.
Oh, nice.
Pray for no rain that day, because like you guys can attest to this, that patch we went to was this huge climb and just drops. And like, if you're going fast, your stomach kind of falls out a little bit. But it's, you know, it's truly a whole nother section of Iowa that, you know, even some Iowans have never experienced because they don't get out there. But yeah, unfortunately, if it does get sloppy that morning or that, you know, that day, we'll have to close that section. But it's a really cool, you know, there's a spot where it's like 8.5% incline, and it's pretty awesome to ride it.
It was really fun. Even just in the truck, we were like, ooh, we're at 2%, 3%, 4%. How much is it going to go? And it was epic, like you were saying.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's going to be truly special.
And I literally was all like, there's no way. This is way steeper than 8%. But it's just, you know, the mind over matter.
Yeah. In a truck, it feels different. But when you're on that bike and you're out of your saddle and you're, you know, at that massive angle, it's a grind for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's deep dive into, you know, we've done an episode which we'll share in the show notes about the 8 overnight towns. But now that you've announced all of the pass-through towns, let's do a deep dive into, you know, starting at Glenwood and ending in Burlington. So take a deep breath and you ready?
Well, I'd like to say before we get started with it, some riders have asked us when will the GPS routes come out because they want to put them in their computer or their Wahoo or Garmin or whatever. But the ride with GPS files are not finalized until we do the pre-ride, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So the June 1st through the 8th, we'll ride our bikes across the state. Like I've been telling towns this week, I'm not going to touch a route until then, unless I get a phone call or something changes with a county or with a road. And really the only thing that would change is, you know, a construction project that is supposed to be done because of weather changes it and it's now going to cause problems, or you know, a bridge is out now because of an issue, or you know, in a town a water main breaks on a main street and that has changed. So you know, we've given you the kind of the high level looking down on what the big roads are. You guys got that last week, so you can kind of see where we're going. You know, we're kind of holding on all the towns because they're planning now, how are we going to get riders in? How are we going to get them out? And we don't want to cause them problems because they're getting phone calls, you know, from a vendor standpoint. Hey, where am I going to be on route? Am I not on route? And we want to protect them as much as we can. But yeah, so June 1st through the 8th, we'll ride it. We will submit a report to the counties and to the DOT of things that we see in our lead vehicle that they either missed, you know, from the project standpoint, or just something that we see that may cause a problem with cyclists. And then we will share that. So you'll be able to, as a cyclist, download a free Ride with GPS app. We'll have a link that will be on our Facebook pages and our socials that you can go to that and RSVP. It will give you full access to the route. So if something would change, you would see the change on your map. It also gives us a way to communicate. So if we need to make a note to you guys about something the day of, you'll get a message in your inbox that there is a change. And we'll do the same thing for the support drivers. So we did a support route, you know, for all the drivers are driving the big buses and the cars to get across. And that support route is completely separated from the bike route. But we need, if you're a support driver and you're listening to this, we need you to stick to that. You know, last year we have a lot of support drivers that just, they know the back roads, you know, they're smarter than us. They've been planning longer than us. They've been, you know, all the above, right? And they're using Siri or Google to get them to spots. And then we're on a road with, you know, a bunch of buses coming at bikes, and it's just not safe. So there's a reason why we create a support route. There's a reason why we keep it separated, so it's safe. So if you are a support driver, make sure you download the Ride with GPS app. It gives you turn by turn, so it'll tell you turn right, mm-hmm. turn left. And as long as you follow that, you're going to get to where we need you. Plus, it brings you into our communities where we have people waiting for you to tell you where to go. So, mm-hmm. You know, keep in mind, we're in some smaller communities this year, and you know, there's only a couple ways to get in. So if you choose the wrong way, you're going to end up causing more problems for those riders and for those teams that are trying to help get you to the places that you want to go. So if we all work together, if we all use the app and the, you know, the processes that we put in place, I think we'll have a good ragbrag in these communities. But yeah, one bad apple comes into a town and now they're downtown trying to get turned around in a bus and just causes more problems. So we just need to kind of work together and use what we have to get you across. If we do that, I think we'll be in a good spot.
So overall, the thing to look at is when you're looking at each day, you know, right now I'm looking at day one is 41.9 miles and 2,400 feet of climb. And if I'm hearing you right, Matt, you're saying, you know, there may be a change or two based on something that comes up. But as far as me training now, I mean, I should be training for 42 miles and 2,400 feet of climb. It's
you
not like
be training for hills.
You're going to go from 2,400 feet of climb to 10 yeah. feet of climb.
No, there's no way of adding extra road or taking a road out to making it a straighter
yeah,
shot.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, what I really don't know yet is, and I've kind of plotted it just from what I think, but, you know, these smaller towns, you know, like a Silver City, which we'll get to here in a little bit, there's only one way in and one way out.
Oh, okay.
So creating that route's super easy, but you may get into a Henderson where you have to kind of jog through a couple areas to get to their main street. And, you know, we found traveling across the state over the last, you know, 3 years that their main street's not always their main street. So,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, we'll wait. We meet with them next week. So we'll start talking through the plans. And from my perspective, what I do is I bring the ride to their backyard. These smaller communities tell us how they want to route through because they have their own projects and,
sure.
and things that are going on. So they want to put riders on good roads. And sometimes that first road coming in may be the wrong road. So they're going to take it down a side street to bring in. They're only doing it because it's going to make the ride safe for you. It's not going to add terrible miles that day, but it's going to add maybe just a little bit here and there over the course of the entire week, you know, riding down a different street.
Yeah. But like you said, it's going to be for their fun. It's going to be for their enjoyment. And if you're prepared for the hills properly, then this is not going to be a problem for you.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Just before we dive in, we want to just mention the RAGBRAI Gives program, where we give back to the towns of RAGBRAI. So we're going to be talking about overnight towns, which is where we're camping overnight, and meeting towns, which is the place around the route each day where the vehicle route and the bike route meet, and is technically usually called our lunch town, although it would be maybe your second lunch at that point, depending, and our pass-through towns, which is all the different towns along the route that we're going to be talking about today, where we visit and we come, we eat, we leave. So these overnight towns, we donate $50,000 each, which I think is really awesome. It's already being put to use to book bands and buy porta potties and things like that. For a meeting town, we give $10,000, and for a pasture town, we give $5,000. So it's a really awesome way that we can provide a little seed money to each of the towns, just to get them started and show our appreciation.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a big undertaking for some of these small towns, you know, small towns that turn from a population of 200 to, you know, 20,000 plus, whatever that looks like. You know, we just can't expect them to just figure it out. We
yeah.
have to get them started and have to, you know, give them some money to help process. I mean, porta potties is the first thing, right? So if you get behind on, you know, raising money to buy porta potties, by the time you have your money raised, it's going to be slim pickings as far as what they can offer you.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've the $50,000, you know, those towns got those checks months ago and they're already starting to work on things. We had our meeting with, you know, the pasture towns last weekend. So if the pasture town was able to get their W-9 to us, you know, they already have their check in hand before we've even met with them. We'll hand the rest of those out this next week when we travel, but just to be able to have that pressure kind of relieved of, okay, we have $5,000, we have $10,000 to spend, and you know they're not having to pass the hat at church to raise money. It helps the process a little bit easier, and you can definitely tell that, you know, when you walk in and they hear RAGBRAI coming, they're excited. But then it's like, okay, how do we do this? Where do we start? And you know, by handing them a check, you can just see there's a level of pressure that's relieved, because the first thing to think of is how are we going to pay for this, right?
Yep.
And you know, our $5,000 and our $10,000 will not cover all the expenses, but it just gives them that kind of shot in the arm to get them started so they can get rolling, because they will have bills that instantly they need to pay right away, and that money does help with that process.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We also have a give back portion of your registration. So when you register, you'll see there's a place where you could donate, or you're also welcome to buy our Boz Prince t-shirts, which we just released, which feature each of the 8 overnight towns of RAGBRAI. They're really cool designs. You can find them on the RAGBRAI website or on Boz Prince, and that's B-O-Z-Z website. And all the proceeds from those t-shirts will be evenly divided among the overnight towns.
Yeah, we even picked, you know, a different, not a town, but the Air Force as a way. Last year was Dream Team. This year it's Air Force, because they do so much for our ride and our riders that we want to try to find and raise money. And that's what I think is so cool about RAGBRAI Nation. You know, we, you know, before we even announced the the overnight towns, people were donating because they knew this is the money's going to go back to a good spot. Mm-hmm. And then you release the towns and you see that it's going to be significant divided up, you know, nine ways. It's something that, you know, Ann and this team has started, you know, last year, and we partnered with GoFundMe, and it's been a fun, you know, fun way to work with them. But, you know, just a great way to see truly how impactful Ragbrai Nation can be when they punch their ticket and they give back more. And then at the end of the day, we can stand on a stage and say, hey, here's a specific set of money that's going to go back to an organization that was raised by the riders for the community. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I hope the Air Force team does not have to pay for a single tire that they replaced this year. So
fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, are you ready to dive in?
Yeah,
to the
let's do it. Day one is Glenwood to Red Oak.
Correct.
And I think I mentioned this a few minutes ago, but 41.9 miles, 2,435 feet of climb. So Matt, take it away.
Not a terrible day, right? You know, compared to last year, it's a lot shorter day. The elevation's a lot shorter too. So we want to be able to give a nice warm up to the riders to get rolling. You know, obviously Glenwood is not on the river, so they'll bring the river to you. So people have been questioning, like, how do we do this? They bring troughs in, you can dip there. The local team is trying to figure out how to create a couple, you know, planned bike trips and bike routes to take riders out if they want to dip, because it is, you know, a little bit of a ways away. But yeah, the, you know, that Sunday we'll get up super early and we'll be on the road. Glenwood to Silver City, which will be our first stop, our breakfast town, is about 8.8 miles. And let me you know, set this up by saying, this is a disclaimer, these mileages could change, these elevations could change. So when I tell you 8.8 today and it's 8.9 tomorrow, don't want to burn my house down because it's off just a little bit.
I will consider it.
But no, because we look at it, you know, one thing we've seen on social media is, well, what's the distance between this town? Because they want to start plotting their days out, right? So I'm going to try to get you as close as I can. And the way I do it is I will plot from Glenwood Campground, Ragbrai, Maine, to Red Oak Campground, Maine Campground. So, you know, so if you're riding with Ragbrai and you're taking our baggage trucks, you're going to know that one day is 41.9 miles. But if you explore a town, you're adding miles on. So,
sure.
You know, the miles will fluctuate a little bit. We want to get as close as possible so you know exactly, you got 1 mile left and you're almost there. But we'll do our best to, you know, constantly be updating those and go from there. But yeah, that first stretch, 589 feet of elevation gain, and there will be a section on that road that has a 7% grade. So you will definitely start seeing the hills right out of the first town.
Well, and as experienced riders will know, we start in the Luss Hills, which are a famous geographical formation of hills that are very famous for this area. And Glenwood's theme is Luss Get It Started Hill. Yeah. So it's appropriate.
Nice.
So we'll be after the Ragbrai Expo, after everything in Glenwood, we'll be heading out to Silver City. It's going to be a pretty fun first day in Glenwood. I think they have a lot of good stuff planned for you. And Silver City will be ready for us too. They are an experienced bike trail or bike town, as they're on the Wabash Trace bicycle trail.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's also a historical museum that we will talk about in future episodes that is well worth visiting.
Okay, then we'll be on our way to Henderson, which is the meeting town for that day.
Yeah. So we'll leave Silver City, 14 and a half miles to Henderson, 895 feet of gain in that little stretch. Mm. There will be another max grade of around 7% again. So, you know, the hills are still going to be there for you. But yeah, we will have our meeting town there. Henderson is one of our smaller meeting towns, but they've done it before. They're super excited, and they have a team that's a bunch of veterans that are coming back to do it again.
Oh, that's so cool. The last time we visited Henderson was 2009.
Oh,
so
wow.
I rode into Henderson the last time as a civilian,
believe
it or
nice.
Not. So yeah, so it'll be fun to be back.
Awesome. We'll leave Henderson, roughly about 9 miles into Emerson. The overall elevation gain is a little bit lower. It's almost 500 feet of gain, and the max grade is around 5%. So a little bit of an easier stretch there. But yeah, so as we leave Henderson, there will be a section. There's only so many ways to get into Henderson, get out of Henderson. And especially when you use one of those ways to bring buses in, that would cause some problems. So as we leave town, there is a small section of gravel. Do not lose your minds to get riders out. So we'll, you know, that's the one way we leave town. There'll be a little tiny small section of gravel. You know, I don't see a whole lot of support vehicles the first 2 days trying to pick riders up. I mean, it's a pretty easy day. So if you are getting picked up by your SAG or your support teams on these first 2 days, clearly you're telling me you haven't trained for Ragbri, so yes. That's not a good thing. So, yeah. But no, we have a spot where we bring the riders in on a paved road, and we will use a small section of gravel to get out. But it, like I said, it is a small section. It's not terrible. There's, you know, two major lanes where you can ride on basically a hard packed surface, but it's what the town uses to get in and get out.
And we drove the route this week, and you can basically see the end of the gravel section from the start of the gravel section.
Yeah, yes, super cool.
It's
definitely.
Nothing but a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So then on to Emerson. Which was really cool because we saw the solar eclipse there.
We did.
Oh, that's yeah, right. We did.
Park, we viewed the eclipse. Yeah. Another 22 years, we'll see it again.
But. Yeah. So they had a very nice park, and they also have a Freedom Rock in Emerson.
Yeah. Yeah. So we will leave Emerson and head into Red Oak. So this day we have two pastor towns with a meeting town. So it's just a smaller day, being a little over 40, 41 miles. Emerson to Red Oak is 9.6 miles. Elevation gain is about 523 feet with a max grade of 6.5. So that first day, yeah, your first grade, is around 7%. 7%, 5%, 6%. So it's not terrible, but there will be some sections where it'll get you out of your saddle and get your heart pumping. But, looking at the average distance this day, it's about 10 and a half miles between towns. So if you like to chunk your ride, to do every 10 miles is a pretty good way to get across.
Yeah. That's how a lot of people train.
Yeah, absolutely.
10 miles at a time. Yeah. That's great.
And as we head into Red Oak, their theme is pedal to the pumpkin. And I will say, you can see their bright orange water tower as you approach on the bike route.
Yeah, it's about 6 miles out. You start seeing the tower, and it's kind of deceptive. Like, you think you're almost there, and it's 6 miles until you get there. So,
I always wonder, how you see a water tower on the horizon. How far away is it? Well, at least 6 miles.
Yeah, at least 6 miles for this one.
So,
and Red Oak does have a Freedom Rock as well. I don't know if you said that, but
yeah, that's cool. They are known for having a large number of veterans and unfortunately casualties during the Civil War and World Wars. They also are known for their theme called Junction Days, where they have experience putting on large events for a lot of people. So they're going to be ready for us, and they're going to show us a good time in Red Oak.
So day two in general is about the same, 40.7 miles, but a little bit less climb, 1,702 feet of climb. So let's hear it, Matt.
Yeah. So if you are a new rider or new to Ragbri, this is the one day that most people are going to have their eyes on because, the mileage is easy and the elevation's not terrible. 1,700 feet of climb, a little over 40 miles. This day really mirrors, day one with the amount of towns and, the meeting town. So we'll pass through two towns and we'll meet in, obviously, Griswold for the meeting town. But we will leave Red Oak early in the morning. It's about a 12 and a half mile stretch into Elliott, 486 feet of climb. And, this grade is 3.3. So compared to the day before, it was 7. This is 3.3. So a lot less hills to be climbing from Red Oak to Atlantic. But, it's an easier stretch. A lot of very flat sections where you can kind of just view the surroundings, but easy first little stretch into Elliott.
And the theme of the day is Hometown Pride Jersey Day. So wear your jersey that represents the town that you're from or what you would consider your hometown on that day. Hmm. Our first town of the day is Elliott, and it will be our first time in Elliott.
Ooh.
Yeah, we have a lot of first-time towns this year, so it's kind of cool to they're obviously super excited, but to get into those first time towns. And that was kind of my goal, early on, which was, how many towns can we get into over the course of my, my time here that had never hosted before. So we've knocked some big ones off this year.
Yeah.
So we will leave Elliott and head to Griswold, which is the meeting town, 7.4 miles, 183 feet of climb, so flat as a pancake for the most part. Max grade is 2.4%, but riders will be able to be picked up or dropped off in Griswold.
And they have a beautiful city park in Griswold.
Oh, yes, they do.
From experience. So yes. It'll be a nice meeting town for us.
Our last pasture town will be Lewis. So we'll leave Griswold, 7.5 miles, 275 feet of elevation gain, 3.4% max grade. So another pretty easy section. And like I said, Lewis will be the last pass through before we leave and go to Atlantic.
And AP, you have to tell the fun fact about this town.
Well, I have two fun facts for Lewis. One, home of Edwin Perkins, the inventor of Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid!
So if we don't see Mr. Kool-Aid there, I'll be a little bit disappointed. But Lewis is also home to a National Historic Landmark, the Hitchcock House, which was a stop on the Underground Railroad. So
cool.
We have a couple different towns that hosted Underground Railroad stops, and it's just a really neat piece of history that we'll be experiencing.
Yep. So we'll leave Lewis, 765 feet of climb. So this will be the most elevation gain going into Atlantic, 4% max grade, but it's another 13 and a half miles to get to Atlantic. Very similar to the first day, 10F miles between towns. So easily chunkable, you know, across the day two.
Yeah, so we're going to be enjoying Atlantic. They got their name after a coin toss, which determined whether it should be named after the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. And I think we can tell how the coin toss turned out.
That's right. That's an interesting fact.
Yeah, so there you go. Atlantic's theme is going to be Atlantic Palooza. So they'll have some fun entertainment for us there. The subtitle to their theme is technically it's all downhill from here, because if you look at the elevation map, it is down from there. So I don't know if I really believe them, but that is going to be their theme. And their band is going to be my friend and yours, the Pork Tornadoes.
The Pork Tornadoes. I love that band.
Yeah. So it's truly going to be a celebration. It's going to be really fun. And Atlantic's another overnight town that has experience putting on festivals because they have cola days. Their Atlantic is the home of the Coca-Cola bottling plant, and they always have a big festival called Cola Days.
Okay, so get a good night's sleep because day three is going to be
hilly.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a little hilly. Yeah. Right now it's at 82 miles with, are you ready? 4,519 feet of climb. And if we were in Colorado, that would just be one mountain climb.
Pretty much.
But we're in Iowa.
Yeah.
And I will say before everyone, you know, gets into the city by city or town by town, this day was beautiful. Like every time we would get to the top of a hill, I can't wait till it's the end of July when everything's green and beautiful and all the crops are in, because it's going to be one of those deals where maybe you're stopping on the side of the road to catch your breath, but you're also going to take some photos.
Yeah, I can't believe how green and beautiful it is already, you know, just with the weather we've been having in Iowa. But yeah, to have the trees all full and, you know, to have the fields kind of starting to thrive a little bit, I think is really cool. But yeah, this day is nothing to joke about. It's going to be the hilliest day on Ragbri, 4,500 feet to climb, and the mileage is going to, cause riders to ride a little bit slower that day and, you know, have their heart beating a little bit, you know, faster. But yeah, we'll leave Atlantic 7.8 miles into our first town, which is Wyota, 486 feet to climb. Max grade there is 5.5. But yeah, kind of a nice little warm-up stretch because it will start getting hilly after that.
Yeah, and this day on Ragbri is College Jersey Day. So I expect to see fewer Hawkeyes in the sag wagons than any other college.
It's a mandatory. So, you can't ride a sag if you're a Hawk fan.
Exactly. So we start in Wyota, and Wyota is known for their steakhouse, which I don't know if it'll be open on Ragbri or not. We'll find out on the pre-ride, but
yeah, I think so. And that's one of the first things I heard when we talked about Wyota is, oh, they got amazing steaks there. So hopefully they have some steaks on the grill for us.
I mean, I would take one at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. or whatever. So yeah. And then we're on to Cumberland.
Yeah. So we'll leave Wyota 10.6 miles into Cumberland, 570 feet of gain in that stretch. There will be a max grade of 6.2. So like I said, the hills are starting to come for sure.
Cumberland, this will be our first time there, and they're known for their outstanding volunteer fire department.
Oh, well, so, we all know you're a fan.
I'm a fan. I'm going to be getting some photo ops in Cumberland, I hope.
Yep, we'll leave Cumberland, 6.8 mile stretch into Messina, 427 feet of climb, max grade is 4.8, so a nice little, you know, under 10 mile stretch to get you going, so you'll feel like you just got off your bike, and now you're getting back on. So looking forward to that next little stretch.
And Messina is another first time pass through town, so that'll be fun to stop somewhere new. And their motto is the home of friendly people, so they're perfect for us.
Oh.
Yep.
Awesome. Leaving Messina, 11.3 miles into Fontenelle, 676 feet of climb. Max grade is that 5% again, so we're hovering right in that little 5 to 7%, you know, grade across the first three stretches. But a nice little easy 11 miles.
This route in general is classic why we have Ragbri in Iowa, because you have the towns. Well, you didn't put the towns where they are, but they're spaced so nicely.
They are.
Yeah.
Yep. So we will leave Fontenelle. This is going to be a super easy stretch, 5.5 miles until our meeting town, but 340 feet of climb. Max grade is 5.9%, but a 5 mile stretch is going to be really, really easy for riders. And then they have time to hang out and relax in Greenfield.
Greenfield is a little bit larger town than some of our other ones we've been to on this route. They have a unique, beautiful town square. They have 4 places on the National Register of Historic Places, which I'll go into at another time. They have a Freedom Rock, and they're home to the Iowa Aviation Museum. So they got a lot going on, and they also have quite a few famous people that come from there, and I will talk them on a different episode. But just, they got a lot going on in Greenfield, and they're ready to welcome us. Also, they're home to Dixon Novi, who coordinates the Quad City Bike Club RAGBRAI team charter, so that'll be fun.
Very good. So leaving Greenfield, we'll have a 9.2-mile stretch into Orient, 464 feet of elevation in that little section, max grade 4.6, so not a terrible little 10 miles. But yeah, Orient will be another town.
And I also noticed a lot of wind turbines in this area, which if you're not used to that, in Iowa, we see them a lot, especially if you travel on the main Interstate 80. There's a big, huge area of them, but they are massive.
Yeah, they're huge. And you really don't realize how big they are until one goes by you on a trailer on the interstate.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going and going. Yeah.
Well,
and going.
Just a part of one.
Yeah, just one of the blades. You know? I mean, it's just crazy. But yeah, they are big. But yeah, you'll see a lot of turbines across the stretch.
And Orient is home to the Pumpkin Days Festival. So shout out to our friend and narrator, Pumpkin.
Awesome. Leaving Orient, 12.8 miles into Maxburg, 807 feet of elevation gain. So I think this is the most elevation stretch that we have on this day. Max grade of 6.2, but it'll take us into Maxburg.
Maxburg is known because it was the home to Glenn Martin, who's famous because he was half of the now famous Lockheed Martin aviation company.
Ah. Yeah. So leaving Maxburg, this will be the longest stretch of the day at 18 miles, max grade of 5.9%. I'm going to warn you now, you get really, really close to Winterset and it's basically super, super flat and you feel like you're almost there. And then you turn a corner and it goes straight up. So don't be cursing my name as you're climbing that last big hill, but there is one last big hill that will take you to Winterset. So at the end of the day. Yeah, you suck.
I wrote down epic. Windy hill.
It just it goes on and it turns right and it goes on and it turns left and it goes on and it turns right and finally you see civilization at the top of the hill. But yeah, it is a long grind, but it will be the last hill of the day.
And appropriately, Winterset's theme is hilliest of the hilliest. So they told you. And their entertainment will be Not Quite Brothers, so RAGBRAI favorites.
That's right. So this day, like we said earlier, 82 miles, 4,500 plus feet to climb. The really cool thing is the average distance between towns is 10.3 miles.
Oh, wow.
So you can easily chunk this day and make it every 10 miles. So we're excited about that.
I'm assuming people who are familiar with Iowa, when you hear the word Winterset, you think of covered bridges.
Yes, and we did get a chance to see one on our trip this week, so it was pretty neat.
Yeah,
they're also home to John Wayne, so that's also a little famous. And the National Quilt Museum, for those of you out there who like quilting. So Winterset's got a lot going on, and then we'll head out on to our Wednesday, which is another beefy day, and it's also RAGBRAI Jersey Day.
Oh, okay. I think this would be a good time. What do you think, AP? We should maybe put a halt to this episode and maybe start fresh with the second half of the week.
I got to stretch my legs, drink a little more coffee, and let's get back to it.
All right. Thanks, Matt. We'll be back with you next week.
Thanks, ladies.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Go Bike podcast. Murph and AP will be back next week. In the meantime, check us out on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and X, formerly known as Twitter. And if you would like to contact Murph and AP with a comment about the podcast, or maybe you have a topic in mind, email them at justgobikepodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, especially if you're a fan. Until next time,
just go bike!
Theme song by Ryan Steer, logo by Suzanne Milosevic, produced by Kathy Murphy, social media by Andrea Parrott, intro by Pumpkin. Until next time, just go bike.